Good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to thy name, O Most High. Declare thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness by night. With a ten-lingered lute, with a harp, with a resounding music upon the lyre. For thou, O Lord, hast made me glad by what thou hast done. I will sing for joy at the works of thy hands. How great are thy works, O Lord, thy thoughts are very deep. A senseless man has no knowledge, nor does a stupid man understand this. That when the wicked sprouted up like grass, and all who did iniquity flourished, it was only that they might be destroyed forevermore. But thou, O Lord, art on high forever. For behold thine enemies, O Lord, far behold thine enemies will perish. All who do iniquity will be scattered. But thou hast exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil, and my eye has looked exultingly upon my foes. My ears hear of the evildoers who rise up against me. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God, and they will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Amen. This is a psalm. It says it's a song for the Sabbath day. And traditionally, this was sung in church or in the temple during the Sabbath. And it gives us a little bit more insight because I think many people think of the Jewish Sabbath as just a day of rest. And it was that, but it was more than that. It was about the temple. It was about coming together as a family and worshiping the Lord together. And so we, as a church, we continue to carry on that tradition as well. You know, we gather together as a family. We come to God's house and we worship the Lord. It seems that the primary function of Sabbath was worship, was praise. It was to offer and honor God through our singing and through our song. And instruments played a big part of that. There is a tradition, there are some, even today, there are some churches, and we would call them, you know, I mean, honestly, either cultic or just plain weird in the best light, but they don't believe in any instruments, and so they do everything a cappella because they think that that instruments should not be a part of a worship service, but obviously, clearly, looking at Scripture, they are wrong. I mean, it's very clear. There's other traditions where, only the organ should be played, and you shouldn't play guitar because that's a modern tool of rock and roll, and so to speak, but that's also wrong because we see that these are mostly stringed instruments that they're talking about. It starts off with this psalm, a song for the Sabbath day. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. Ultimately, praise, worship, at the heart of it is thanksgiving. And the worship becomes powerful. I mean, worship is always powerful, but it becomes powerful even more so in our hearts when the foundation of our worship is thanksgiving. It's offering the Lord that praise. It's being grateful and having so much gratitude. Even now, social scientists will tell us that mental health, emotional health, all those things, you can actually be healthier emotionally and all this if you just simply had an attitude of gratitude. If you were just thankful, if instead of complaining, instead of being jealous or comparing, just simply being thankful of what you have, of what God has given to you. And there's just something about that. I used to love taking people on mission trips. It fulfills many different functions. One function is it teaches people to become missional. It teaches people to trust God. You know, they need to raise funds, make their way, especially when I was a youth pastor. I still love taking my kids out because one of the byproducts of going out and especially ministering in places where they're not as prosperous, As we were, I mean, I've probably in my youth days, youth pastor days, I probably went took my youth group to Mexico at least 20 times. You know, in like a 4-year period, we went all the time, and you know, we did a lot of different things, a lot of different projects. But one of the byproducts of that is our kids came home and they started becoming grateful. They didn't realize what they had. They didn't realize that they were so blessed. You know, they were complaining before. But that's the essence of it. That's the essence of worship. It's good to give thanks to the Lord. Let's remember that. It is always good to give thanks to the Lord. To sing praises to His name, the Most High. To declare your loving kindness. This is the chesed in Hebrew. His grace, loving kindness, His faithfulness. This is covenant love that He has over His people. And thy faithfulness by night. The early church fathers would talk about how to have a devotional. And they would simply use this pattern. It was so simple. You basically start off your day giving thanks, worshiping the Lord. You know, one, give thanks that you woke up alive. You know, during this time, a lot of people didn't survive the night. And so you wake up, you give thanks, you remind God of who He is, you thank Him in advance for what God has done. And then in the evening, you come back and you thank Him for what He has done. And it's this culmination of these things that come together. And you use the instruments. You use the lute, the harp, the lyre, you know, all kinds of different things to, it's really talking about amplifying the sound, making it beautiful before the Lord. You know, God loves music. I mean, you just see all throughout the scriptures. He loves music. And when you think of, especially the classical music, you know, most of the composers did it through inspiration. And they offered up these praises to the Lord in these songs. And says, Lord, you have made me glad by what you have done. I will sing for joy at the works of your hands. And it's just this this beautiful reminder that when we wake up and we go down to bed, especially, now remember, the idea here is the Sabbath. And we come together not just to rest, in other words, so we don't work per se, but we come and we worship the Lord. And it's like I said, this is the tradition that the church has continued to carry on. This beautiful acknowledgement of God's goodness as we gather together as a body. And so in that way, the people of God would go to the synagogue, or if they were outside of Jerusalem, or they would go to the temple. And there was something about the fact of going to church, you know, going to the house of God. Yes, you can worship in your home. You can do that, but that was for the weekdays. When it came to the Sabbath, rest, it was about coming together as a community, as a body. I know that there is this trend these days, coming out of COVID, that we become very, very casual in our Sabbath worship of the Lord. I know people, they're like, oh yeah, you know, I listened to you, you know, while I was hiking. And I was like, why did you do that? You know, I listened to you while I was shopping. You know, I listened to you while I was cooking. And in my heart, it's like, why would you do that? You know, that's distracted praise, right? That's convenient praise. That's not the sacrifice of praise. And I just remember, I shared this before. I just remember Os Guinness when he was leading us, and I was part of this group of pastors that he was teaching during the height of COVID. And he said something to me that really, really resonated. And he said, the danger of this season of COVID, and especially home worship, on the Sabbath, these things. And he says the danger is it introduced a casualness of our worship of God. And when he said that, I was like, oh my goodness, that's it. That's basically what it did. It introduced this very casualness. And so, you know, on the Sabbath day, yeah, you can go jogging and worship the Lord. You can do this. And no, you shouldn't. You really shouldn't, right? You should not be going jogging, or you should not be hiking and worshiping the Lord. I mean, if you're hiking as a worship to God, that's something else, right? But I'm talking about, you know, fulfilling another function, and also on the side note, doing church. And I don't think that's the spirit by which the Lord is speaking here and through the scriptures. You know, don't let this casualness come over you. It's not the same thing as listening to a sermon online. You know, there was something about what the scriptures will call the sacrifice of praise. You know, where we get out of bed, we shower, we come to the house of God in community as a family, and we worship the Lord together. And I want you to know, this is a major, major problem in churches all over the world. And the reality is, a lot of people never really came back to the house of the Lord. And I want you to know, that's a huge, huge problem. There's something not very healthy and deadly for our spiritual lives about that. And so he says, it's good to give thanks. It's good to go to the house of the Lord. You know, Psalm 122, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And so the psalmist here just recounts, Lord, your works are so great. Your knowledge is very, your thoughts are very deep. You know, a senseless man doesn't recognize that you are wiser than we are. In fact, the word here in New American Standard is, nor does a stupid man understand this. And that's what foolish people think, that they know more than God. Foolish people will always think that they have the answers instead of God. And that's generally how it works. It reminds me of Paul in Romans 1. He says, you know, trying to be wise, you know, they became fools. And that's a simple reality. And so there is this surrendering. And this is also part of worship. There's a surrendering to the wisdom of God. There's a surrendering to the works of God, to the wisdom of God. And we could say, Lord, I don't understand it, but I do know that your thoughts are deep. In other words, there is rhyme to your reason there. And recognizes a senseless man. We as human beings, we don't quite have this knowledge. We will have it when you reveal it to us, but the reality is we don't know. And one of the conundrums that people deal with is, how does the unrighteous, how can they flourish? Why do the unrighteous, why do they seem to get away with so many things? You know, how can they continue to do this? And you realize, you know, particularly like when you look at the world, you know, eventually those hidden things tend to come out into the light. And in this lifetime, but also at judgment. And so he's saying that in the end of verse 7, and it was only that they might be destroyed forevermore. I mean, that sounds like such a harsh thing to say and do, but he's talking about the ultimate judgment. In other words, no one is going to escape this. No one is going to think they pulled a fast one on God, you know, in the way they live their life. In fact, the scripture says, every careless word that you utter will be judged in that place. So he says, Lord, this is what happens. We don't understand it, but Lord, you're in charge of this thing. And even the wicked flourishing, God, you're on top of that. And it says, but for me, you have exalted my horn, this is verse 10, like that of a wild ox. I've been anointed with fresh oil. And so you can imagine, you can kind of see this. This is talking about the ritual of anointing. And what they would do, they would take this horn, you know, an animal horn, and they would fill it with oil, and it would just flow over the person. I mean, usually the priest, they would do this, but it was just this sign of the Holy Spirit and of just great blessing coming over us. It was just being filled with this oil that happens in our lives, you know. And what it does, it gives you the right viewpoint. So verse 11 says, "And all my eye has looked exultantly upon my foes." You know, before, when he looked upon the enemies, he looked upon them with a kind of like, you know, why did they prosper? Now he understands that when he looks upon his enemies, that there's a badge of victory that begins to come over him. And he says, the righteous man will flourish like the palm tree, will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. The cedars of Lebanon, these particular trees were the most majestic. They were the strongest. They were the most beautiful. They were the most aromatic. And there's always, you know, we always see this picture. It grows strong. And what happens is planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. There actually is no indication that there were trees in the garden, particularly in the temple. There may be, but there really is not much evidence of that. And, you know, for many of us that have gone up to the Temple Mount, there's really not that much that happens on the mount. Maybe on the outskirts of it, near the gates, but not there on the mount. And so it's not comparing to a tree. It's talking about what God sees as these people are. They're like these trees that are firmly planted in the house of the Lord. And they will, verse 14, and they will yield fruit in old age. And this was the hope of every Jewish man, that they would be fruitful in old age, that they would have life, but more than life, that they would have a deep quality of life in this place. And they should be full of sap and very green. They will declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. And if you think of if you make a contrast, the wicked, right, there's destruction, but for the righteous, there's long life. There's prosperity. You know, there's something about them that really brings kind of an anticipation, you know, for us that if we live righteously, there is this promise of vitality, you know, that comes our way. And it's exciting. And it's exciting to see how God's going to move in our lives. And not just this little season of our life, but the fullness of our life and what it's going to look like. You know, my prayer for us this morning is that you would feel this, that you would still yield fruit in your young age and in your old age, that you would be full of sap and you would be very green. In other words, you would be flourishing. Again, contrasting the flourishing of the wicked that dies out. And you will see this in the righteous in old age, they will flourish. So let's close our eyes. It is good to sing to the Lord. It is good to give thanks to the Lord in his house. And what a privilege that we get to do that this morning here in this house. And maybe, like this psalmist, maybe you're looking at the wicked and you're seeing their prosperity. It will be for their destruction. But you, in old age, will be prosperous. Planted in the house of the Lord, like the cedars of Lebanon, like the flourishing of the palm tree. That's the reward of the righteous. It pays to live a righteous life, to choose to follow the Lord instead of following the world. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Let's worship the Lord. Let's give thanks to the Lord in His sanctuary.
Praise untainted. my praise be yours, God, forever. Lord, take this life, let it become your throne. I'm broken, praise be yours. I'm broken, praise be yours, God, forever. Oh, my praise be yours, God, forever. Lord, take this life, let it become your throne. I'm broken, praise be yours.
Let's pray this morning. Let's learn to give thanks to the Lord. Let's learn to speak, give thanks for His faithfulness in the morning, right, and His works at night. Let's learn to come to the house of the Lord and give Him undistracted worship, the sacrifice of praise. Let's pray. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our friends and family that are going through chemo or radiation therapies and surgeries. So let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community dealing with illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community dealing with non-cancerous illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Oh, praise God. No one's got COVID. Amen. Let's pray for our frontline medical workers. Let's pray for strength. Let's pray for anointing. Pray for perseverance and protection. Let's also pray over the nurse shortage situation in Hong Kong as well. Let's ask God to intervene. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Japan. Let's lift up Pastor Sophia, who's in Australia right now. Pray for Jungmin and Hyunjin. They're in Tokyo. Pray for the community that will continue to grow. And God would really move in their midst. Let's also pray for SP New York. Pray for the ladies there. Pray for their community that they would prosper before the Lord. And let's lift up Kelly in India as well. And let's pray. Pray for our mission council. Let's pray that they would serve the Lord with all their heart. God would give them wisdom and continue to build relationships with organizations and people around us that they could lead us in our mission endeavors. So let's lift up. Let's pray for SP fam. Let's pray for the babies in our care now. Let's pray the other families that are signing up that they would go through the process well and that we would care for the orphan in this house. Let's pray for our gatherings tonight, or IP, the youth, and SPU. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to lead our young people. Pray for our prayer team that they would really hear from the Lord and just pray His purposes. Let's pray for a fruitful evening. pray for the pregnant ladies in the house. Let's pray for smooth deliveries. Let's pray for health of the mom and the baby. Let's pray that the families would just really be excited for a new addition. Let's lift up. Let's pray for House Church tonight. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to lead. Pray there will be anointing through our leaders, through our hosts, and that people would really draw near to the Lord and to each other. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord. We agree it is good to give thanks to the Lord. Lord, it's good to sing praises to your name, God, to sing of your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness in the evening, Lord. God, I pray, God, that we would not give you distracted praise, that instead we would offer to you the sacrifice of praise. It costs something, God, for us to praise you. Would you teach us, God, that? Help us as a church, Lord. Remind us, God, of those principles, Father. God, it is good to worship and give thanks. Help us today to give thanks, not just with our words, but with the way we live our lives, God. We thank you. Give us the opportunity today, Lord. We love you, Father. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you this weekend.